guys. Another episode of The Wrap coming at you.
Yeah, episode 49.
Now, we should probably stop at this point. We said something about this at least a couple weeks ago. Yes. We've been trying to say something about this. We are getting ready, guys, to turn the big 5-0. Very excited about that.
50 episodes.
And we said what we were going to do with the 50th episode, we were going to do a live wrap episode that night. And so we have set next, if you're watching this at our usual time on a Saturday, but whenever you're watching this, and if you're watching it before it happens,
yeah,
it will be...
You'll actually get to join us live.
Yes, next Wednesday, April 21st, you said was the
April
date on
April 21st.
That? April 21st at 7:30.
Yes,
in Wednesday, April 21st, 7:30, live and in the moment. You tune in on the New Heights Facebook page. We will be there live that evening. It will not be recorded. We'll be right there sitting in
live
the room
and in person
doing this.
And
what we're kind of going to do with it and what we thought would be fun was we were going to just allow you to ask just some Bible questions that you might have.
Yeah.
We do reserve the right to weed out any questions. Please try to have the question be at least a high level of like thought and intelligence to it, not just something random. You can ask some fun questions if you want to as well. They don't have to all be like super biblical and deep. You can just ask maybe some things about us. But if it just gets too wacky and zany, which probably is hard for a lot of people, it'll be like, there's things that are too wacky and zany for you, Ryan.
Yeah.
If it's just too out there and it really isn't relevant, it just is going to get shoved aside. So try to be a little bit creative. You know?
I don't care if you... I think they got it.
I don't care if you ask me like what my favorite food is or like things of that nature. That's fine. But if it gets too crazy,
shutting
it down, just it'll get tossed to the side. So we're really hoping we get several people to tune in that night. We would love to have you join us. Spread the word so that we can get a pretty good audience that night. And we'll spend some time. I would assume that we're probably going to do a little bit, maybe more of an extended wrap than we usually do.
Maybe. Because depends on how many people we have asking.
Yeah, if we have one person show up and they ask one question, we might be 10 minutes live and that's it.
Well, we'll still have your sermon to talk about.
Yeah, we'll just talk a little bit about that too. And maybe people can ask questions off of that as well.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But we hope to have a really great audience, and it might be a little bit of an extended episode if there are enough questions and enough people participating. We'll see where it goes. We're excited about it. Regardless, we're going to be 50 episodes old.
And the cool thing is, with it being on a Wednesday night at 7:30, that is right after your sermon will have aired on Facebook again.
If
you haven't seen the thing, tune in at 6:30, watch the service, and then at 7:30, join us for the wrap.
It's a great idea, Levi. I like the way you're thinking there. Let's go ahead and roll into things for today as we continue on our trek, our journey through, our hike through the Bible. I couldn't think of any other words to be able to use for trek, journey, hike through the Bible. This week, we find ourselves smack dab in the middle. I'm not really necessarily technically in the middle of Judges, but in the book of Judges.
Yes, yeah, we are in the book of Judges, which, into the book.
Honestly, like, I wish I had a little bit more time to slow down and talk about some more stuff happening.
There's
in
a
the
lot
period
of, Judges.
Of Judges. There's a lot going on in the book of Judges.
Although it can be summed up in that one
Everybody did what was right in their own eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that led to disaster.
It does. Yeah, I heard somebody this week talking about, and I've noticed it before, there's a clear sin cycle that happens in Judges. Somebody had like a 4 thing, and I can't really remember what
it was. I think it's something similar to, because I've seen the same thing myself. It's they would...
There was a sin.
There was a sin.
There was a repentance.
Well, before that, there was judgment.
Yeah, sorry.
So sin, judgment, repentance.
And like rescue or something.
Rescue,
I don't know.
And then they just started all over.
And it just starts all over and goes on for a period of like 100 plus years. You know, it's crazy. Anyways, we find ourselves specifically in the story of Gideon today.
Yes, Gideon.
Gideon's just an interesting character. I preached on Judges maybe a couple years ago, and it was just a really, that was probably one of my favorite series that we had done here. I think what we often do, not just with Gideon, but we do this with a lot of judges, people like Samson, is like, these guys are like, because for those of us who grew up in church, we hear the stories in a Sunday schoolized way, and it's like, these guys are heroes, they're amazing, they're awesome, and then you start to really kind of look at their stories, and you're like, these guys weren't really all that.
You see who they really were.
And so you preached this last Sunday. You spent some time really studying Gideon. Just give us if we haven't seen the sermon or listened to the sermon, a flavor, a feel for what you learn as you study in Gideon's life, and we'll roll from there as to what that does and applies to our life.
Yeah. I love the story of Gideon because it really does, the whole Bible kind of speaks into our life, right? But this one I feel like is, we can see ourselves in Gideon sometimes of, you know, Gideon, when we see Gideon first come on the scene, he's threshing wheat in a wine press.
Which is crazy. I learned this week because I'm studying for Ruth, which happens in the same period as the Judges. And a lot of it has to do with harvest and wheat and stuff like that. So what's very interesting about Gideon is, and it says at the very beginning, doesn't it? Like they're hiding from the Midianites because the Midianites are horrible. They would come over and ravage.
They're like the big crop. Bully of the Middle East, right there.
They were. Yeah. They were the mean girl on the block. So yeah, we find this guy.
And I'm going to start preaching it that way.
The Midianites were the mean girl
on the block. Yeah, okay.
So immediately you get the sense, again, like I said, Gideon usually, when we think of like, oh, Gideon.
Yeah.
Like, Gideon was amazing. You're like, the dude was in a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
And this is the thing that's interesting about this. Culturally, whenever you were threshing any sort of a crop, you would want to do that. And the threshing floors were always on the high places, on the top of hills, out the middle of everything. Because the whole process would be that they would take and they would beat, you know, the chaff away from the wheat or the crop, and they would throw it up in the air, and the lightness of the chaff would blow away, the heaviness of the crop would drop down on the threshing floor, and that's how you gathered it all up.
So higher you go, the more wind.
Exactly, the better it is. This guy is at the lowest spot that you can be. This shows you how desperate.
He's in a tub, basically.
It shows you how desperate the situation is in Israel at this time. This guy is in a hole in the ground trying to do a job that you don't have any business doing in a hole in the ground.
And yet, what does the angel of the Lord say to him when he shows up?
What does he say?
Mighty hero.
Mighty warrior.
The Lord is with you.
And what, now that's me. I just always put myself in the story for some reason. And he shows up and says, mighty warrior, God is with you. And you go,
where?
Yeah. Who's this guy talking to?
Well, that's basically what Gideon does. He's like,
who, me?
Are you serious?
Yeah, he does.
Who are you talking to?
He has you can see how broken the people of Israel are, how broken a man like Gideon is.
I think they'd been going through it for that portion they had been experiencing for 7 years. And I don't know how old Gideon was at this time.
I don't know.
But you almost get the sense that this was his this is what he knew. Like the man was beaten down.
Yeah.
You know, he was just as pressed as that wine that this is life. And they'd kind of resigned to it. Here's what we got to do.
And again, this is why this is so interesting to think of these Bible stories, because for the last year, and just now coming out of kind of this moment in the history of the entire world, that was 1 year for us and some.
Yeah.
7 years of
just
a big old bully.
Yeah.
Constantly harassing you.
Well, and you're hungry. You're tired of hiding. Oh. You don't have enough to make ends meet because your crops have been taken.
That's why I love how the Bible connects with real life today. Mm. Because I feel like for so many people, they're just like, I'm beat down. Yeah. I've resigned to just giving in to whatever life brings me, because that's life, right?
Well, and then when God does come and he does ask us to move on something, our first thought is, I don't have it in me.
Not me.
Yeah.
Move along, God.
There's nothing else to see here.
That happens so often in Scripture, doesn't it, right? Is like we want someone else to be the solution to the problem.
Right.
And God so often comes to us and says, no, I've picked you to be the solution to the problem. Yeah. We're like, I think you have the wrong guy.
And Gideon, just like Moses.
Not me.
Nope, not me.
Can't possibly.
I'm the lowest of the low in my clan.
That happens so often, by the way, in Scripture. And I don't know if where I heard that and who I heard talking on that. I think it was Bible study on Sunday morning. Brian was talking about that, this concept of, and he was talking about that with Gideon, is like, woe is me, that can't be me. Like Moses does that.
Right.
Saul, king, who would be King Saul, does that. He goes, my clan is the least.
Yeah.
You know, or my family, my tribe, my people, my family is the least. I'm the least in my family. Yeah. David was the very same. He was the runt of the litter.
Yeah.
And yet God, so often, almost every single time, picks that person.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, in part of what we talked about on Sunday morning, which if you, Ryan hasn't heard the sermon because he was in children's church that week.
I'm still trying to recover from that and the trauma of it, so that's why I still haven't really.
We reverse roles for the week. But so, but the thing that we really focused on is the fact that there's this little phrase after he calls him mighty warrior that we often just kind of skim past. Mm-hmm. But it's mighty warrior, God is with you. And then he reminds him again, go in the strength you have, I am with you. And we also see that with Moses.
We see it all
Moses,
over the Bible,
go
right?
Do what I've called you to do. I am with you.
I'm convinced that was one of the calls of the Bible is, yeah. I will be with you. I am with you. I am never going to leave you. I won't abandon you. Yeah. I'm right here beside you because we need to know that.
Which was the difference between mighty hero and not mighty hero.
And I love what you said there. The next part of it, even after the Lord is with you, is go in the strength that you have.
Yeah.
I think so often we have in our minds that I need to like work up this courage and this strength, and I need to bring things into me that aren't me. Right. And God says, here's the deal. I'm going to use who you are, what you are, what you can do, and for all the rest of it, and let's be really honest about that, most all of it, just leave it to me. Yeah. God says, just leave it to me. Yeah. I've got you.
God's like, I'm going to use you. And I often say this, you know, God, his plan will prevail with or without us, but usually in spite of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Absolutely. Like, I am in no way going to get in his way.
No.
You know, so when he's calling us to do something, and, you know, we also talked about how, you know, Paul was talking about, I boast in nothing because without Christ.
Yeah, except for Christ.
I am nothing, yep. You know. And so it's that God will be with you. You know, even Jesus, when he gives the Great Commission, ends it with,
I will be with you to the very end of the age. It's all over the place, New Testament, Old Testament. I'm never leaving you. I'm right here beside you.
Yeah.
If you think something's happened and somebody's moved, it wasn't me.
Right.
It was you.
Right.
So, yeah, such a key thing there. Go in the strength that you have. Not that you think that you should have, not that you try to work into yourself, but just go with who you are. And I'll do the rest.
What Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, you know, God is faithful, and He will also do it.
Yeah, He who called you to it will make it happen.
Faithful, He's going to make it happen.
This is why I just kind of constantly step back in this whole Bible engagement, this journey that we go on. Is so many of these themes come up over and over. And over again, and these themes just weave together in a way. It's like what you're saying right now for Gideon has so much carryover to Ruth that we're going to talk about next time. Yeah. And just fascinating to me that God will always prevail, that God is always there. It's just so fascinating to me.
Which I think, you know, is if we're looking at the Old Testament, it's all pointing to Christ. And this is, you know, how we kind of see God's character coming through this whole Testament.
Yeah.
Story and these accounts of him always being there.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I mean, that's one of the major themes of the Bible, like you said, is just knowing that he's there.
And one thing that we have said from the very beginning of this whole Bible journey, we've said it over and over again, is that the Bible is one comprehensive and cohesive story with many sub-stories and mini-stories, mini-series,
that all point back to the one thing
and the one truth, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's all about Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's no different in this story. So we find this guy, he's in a hole, he's kind of scared. God, angel of the Lord comes to him and says, I'm going to use you to be the solution to this problem. So lay out a little bit more. Anything else that struck you as you were studying?
You know, it flat out says that God says, you know, I'm going to do this in a way that nobody will be able to.
And again, what you just said, in spite of you, basically.
In spite of you. You know, and if Gideon wasn't freaked out enough, you know, he starts out with, what, 20,000?
10,000, wasn't it?
No. He started out with 20.
Or was it 20 or 30,000?
22,000, I think.
Okay.
But God slashes it to 10,000 and says, nope, still too many. and then slashes him to 300 men. They had 132,000 army against them.
Yeah. By the way, hashtag worst military strategy
right?
ever.
Yeah. I was like, you know, if I were Gideon, I'd be freaking out right now. Because, like, that's not... Well, first of all, you don't pick somebody as cowardly as Gideon to lead this army.
First problem. Second problem, what else don't you do? Whittle it down to how many people?
300.
300 against 132,000.
Yeah. The odds are not great.
The odds are not in your favor, son.
Not humanly speaking.
Third problem.
There's more.
You remember what it is?
But wait, there's more.
But wait.
They don't have swords.
They don't have anything military-wise, do they? What are they carrying around?
Clay pots.
A torch.
And a ram's horn.
And horns.
So they literally surround the army as best 300 people can do, right? They split in three different groups, 100 in each side.
By the way, all I think, for some reason when I think of ram's horn, I know what it looks like, I know what it sounds like and what it comes across, but I always just think of like, these guys are literally surrounding over 100,000 Midianite soldiers and they're blowing like party horns.
That's probably what it felt like to them. Because it makes no sense.
No.
But the Midianite army goes nuts. Right, and starts retreating. Mm-hmm. They just basically chase them out.
Yeah.
And even through all that, Gideon still has trouble trusting God and still
But I think there's so much
him.
I think there's so much grace in this story God.
There is.
We didn't even talk about the part of the story where Gideon says, but if you're really going to do this and use me, Lord, I'm going to put you
to the
test.
Before he goes into battle, right?
He gives him the test of the fleece. And I think God's biggest grace actually comes in something else we didn't talk about in the story is God says, okay, here's how I'm finally going to let you know that this is a real deal. I want you to go down into the camp with your servant during the night. I want you to hear what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And what do they hear they're talking about? They're freaked out, aren't they? The Midianites are like, oh, I had a dream. Like, I had a dream.
That must mean that God's going to
use this. So finally something clicks.
Gideon's going to win.
Gideon, but Gideon finally says, okay, I think we can do this.
Yeah.
But it's not without all of this up and down stuff, in and out. It's like, I can't do it. God
reminds
can't use
me so much of me when God's, you know, when God's put it on my heart to do something and I'm like, are you sure, God? Are you sure? You know, because, I mean, not only, he doesn't just do that fleece test once.
Twice.
Like, he's like.
And directly reverses it.
Yeah.
The second
Wait
time.
A minute. That may not be, you know.
I want it to be wet, realized, and I want it to be dry.
But that could probably happen. The ground could have soaked up the water. Let's do it the other way around, right?
I sometimes read that, and I'm just like, do you ever wonder if Gideon was just like, he's like, I'm just going to play some games with God, which don't do that.
No, don't.
Because other people have done that in Scripture, and it didn't turn out too well for them. But in God's grace, he allows Gideon to feel things out.
Right.
And he gives Gideon the grace to see ahead of what's going to happen. And I think it was the big point of what we talked about with this whole sermon and Gideon as a character, is that God inevitably, almost every single time it seems, uses weak,
right,
and flawed, sometimes incompetent, just people.
Yeah.
I think that is the biggest hope, not only the story, but really the biblical story as a whole. Because if you really look at any biblical story, you're like, person was really flawed.
Right.
We've said that before.
Which
right?
is the very reason that he uses them.
Yeah.
Is to show his power.
It's like, it wasn't because of them, I guarantee.
Right. I mean, you think of all those surrounding countries looking at what happened there.
That was only God.
There's no doubt.
But God.
That they had help.
Only God.
Right?
I just kind of popped in my head. You think of someone like, and you're like, okay, Ryan, I get that with a Gideon. I get that with a lot of people who are just super questionable. What about a guy like Paul? Like, Paul was like the dude.
Yeah.
I mean, the New Testament guy, he was it. If there's anybody who could boast, who could brag, who could say it was me and my thoughts and my smarts and my... But what does Paul say over and over again? You said it already.
He has nothing to boast about.
If I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast only in God.
Well, and then there's another portion, and we actually brought this up in the sermon of, you know, he talks about that thorn in his flesh.
Yep.
That, you know, he pleaded with God several times.
Yeah.
Take this, remove this problem from me. We don't know what it is. We don't know what the thorn in the flesh was, but it humbled him.
And that's a good place to be.
That's a good place to be,
As a leader, as a follower of Christ is to right. be humbled by whatever it is that holds us back, but we don't allow it to hold us back.
And he goes on to talk about that's why I only boast in him.
Yep.
Because in my weakness, he is made strong.
If Paul, the epitome and model and example of what it means to be a follower of Christ, if not even he can say, it's all me, guys, but he says, no, it's all God, it's all Christ.
Yeah.
Who else of us can sit and think that we've got it all going on? But at the same time, this is what I would say. I think this is the encouragement to all of us and to those of you who may watch is, guess what? If God's going to use somebody, it's very well going to be you, me, us. Because all of us, if we're humble enough to admit that we are weak and we are flawed and we are frail, we are right in the center of where God wants to use us for his purposes. So Gideon is one story among many in the Bible that whole concept of weakness plays in. Mm-hmm. But just such a really fascinating story right in the midst of a really dark period for Israel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it was going to get darker.
Oh, yeah. It's going to get a whole lot darker. I think the same thing is for us as well, too. Like, we really probably feel, and we were probably right to some degree, that we live in very dark times. But the hope of it is that God is calling each one of us. Mm. In the strength that we have, with what he's given us, how he's created us and gifted us to do his work and to fulfill his mission. And so I think that in the midst of all this darkness and the dark days we live in, that we can be just that little pinprick of light. Yeah. If we just stay faithful to what God's calling us to do, we will we'll honor him, glorify him, and we will, like I said, fulfill the mission that he's given to us.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think that's an important question of, you know, when we ask God, why would you pick me? Why wouldn't he pick you? Right? Like.
Yeah.
We're broken people. Yep. And he shows his power through brokenness.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if there's any encouragement I have, and I talked about this on Sunday, is, you know, there are things that, you know, I've got on my heart that I feel like I need to step out on and do.
Yeah.
That even, like, I'm like, God, are you sure about that? You know, like, I don't know if I should do that, you know? And so that encouragement of step out.
Yep.
Right? And that's, I'm preaching to myself in that, you know, and do what he's put on your heart to do.
I would almost say it in reverse, too. If you are a person who can recognize in yourself and say, I don't feel like I have any level of brokenness or flawedness in me, you are probably not going to be used by God.
Yeah.
Because your level of humility is not where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, I don't think we need to be like, well, I'm just, no. Like, no, there's got to be a healthy balance there of knowing that, yes, I am broken, but yes, God is gracious.
Yeah.
And he will use me if I am available to be used.
Yeah. There's a difference between being broken with no hope and broken with God with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the whole message of this story. And I think it's a really important one for us to take in. And so we are, as always, very incredibly gracious that you would take any amount of time to listen to us. And we hope, like I said at the very beginning, that you would join us next Wednesday, 7:30.
Our first live episode.
Our first of 50 first episodes. Ever. This is our first live episode. I take that back, actually. You remember episode one? Didn't we do that right after a sermon?
It wasn't live, though.
That's right. We did record. Live. So this will be very first.
Now, if
live
you go
episode.
Searching for episode one, I don't know that you'll find it.
Oh, my land.
It may be on Facebook somewhere, but it is not on our YouTube channel.
It like be the ultra rare.
Okay, I'm going to go back in the archives and find it.
We've got just a little bit of time here. I think we gabbed a little bit at the beginning. So I don't know if this is like, you've seen these NFTs now that they're starting to sell, like non-fungible tokens, like pieces. You've never heard of this?
No, what is this?
I don't really fully understand it, but I feel like episode one could be an NFT non-fungible token. So people are taking like digital things of art and stuff like that, and they're selling it for like millions of dollars. Because I don't get it, I don't get the concept. Maybe somebody can explain it to me, but I feel like episode one of the rap, non-fungible token. We could sell that thing for a big amount of money.
Gotcha.
It's just that rare.
Yeah.
It's hidden.
I don't even know if I have the MP. Like all these other ones, I have the MP3.
It's Easter egg.
Maybe one of these days, if I can find it, we could just release
Easter egg it. Bam, guys. Like I said, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next time for our live episode. God bless.
See you guys.